For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Mia Hansen Aloha, Christy Dougherty, Just Sayin', Kelly Barlow, and Cindy Gerson. We love you girls. Hello, and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old broads. I'm Ronnie Caron from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast, currently the Rose Pricks Bachelorette podcast. And here I am with my gorgeous, talented, social butterfly of a friend, Ben Bandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banter
hey.
Blender. Hi, Benji.
Hey, what's going on? Can't believe it. It's Thursday. It's Real Housewives of New York City Day. And you know what, Ronnie? This has been an exciting week for us, pertaining, you know, in regards to Real Housewives of New York City, because our song, our Luann song, Do the D'Agostino, officially went on sale. Earlier in the week, we reported that we had submitted it, but now it's actually on sale on iTunes and Google Play and Amazon Music and who knows where else.
How many millions of copies have we sold, Ben?
I don't know. See, the thing is, all those places, they send their reports to CD Baby, which is where I like published it through. And like iTunes sends their reports 6 weeks after the end of the month. So we're not going to know for like 2 months. But people are buying it. People keep saying that they're buying it. So I feel like we probably sold, like, you know.
I just love that. I just love that recording bin.
It's just cool. It's weird. It's weird to think, because we have a podcast that appears on iTunes, okay? And we're like used to that. But there's something about selling a song on iTunes that feels weirdly professional and grown up. And it's just hilarious to me. I guess you've been published on there for a while, but this is my first song, and I feel like a regular David Foster.
I think I've sold about 4 copies of my own, and that's because I've changed my iTunes name about 4 times and rebought it for myself just so there would be something on there. Everybody, what a day. We also spent today talking to Katie Cazorla about the Second Wives Club and some of her general opinions of this season's Real Housewives of New York. That was a super fun ep. That'll be posted as a special bonus that you guys can check out today. And we also spoke with Invite Only Cabos, Larry and Emily, and laughed our asses off for about 45 minutes.
Yeah, they were great. We're going to air that episode on Monday, which is when we normally cover Invite Only Cabo. So that's going to be on Monday, because there's actually no episode of Invite Only Cabo this Sunday. Same with Potomac. So instead, you'll get this interview with them. And it was so good that Emily, I think, got fired from her job in the middle of it. So because she was recording,
okay, guys,
doing
Kristen
it from her
Cavallari,
job.
She was working on a Kristen Cavallari set, and she got fired for talking too loud. I mean, that is so perfect for this show.
So good. But
I will always allow an and before a but, Ben. Okay, I've studied improv and I take my comedy pretty seriously, Ben.
Like a yes and. Well, yes and. Today is also special because guess what? We have a shout out to Caitlin and Alex.
Oja,
yeah. Is it a birthday? Why do I feel like it was a wedding? I think they got married.
Caitlin and Alex, you got married?
For a moment, the reason why I got confused is because for a moment I was about to say happy birthday, but then I was like, wait a second, I think that they actually got married.
Caitlin and Alex, happy wedding to you people.
Wedding / birthday.
May it last at least 5 years until you're able to get past the prenup laws.
Is it 5 years, Ben?
I don't know what it is, but all I know is they got the yacht. No, that's awesome. You guys, that's so cool. I hope you guys have had a wonderful wedding.
Yes, you guys, Caitlin and Alex got married, and this is from your friend Shannon. Shannon loves you guys so much. She says you're an amazing couple, and being around them absolutely makes cynical people like myself believe in genuine, lifelong love and partnerships, and I'm so excited for them. And you know what? I'm so excited for them, too, because I can't remember the last time a friend got married that I was like, this is really inspiring. Usually I'm like, oh, my God, those two, I'm going to be on the phone with that bitch while she's crying for the next 10 years, you know? So it's good to hear that there's real love out there and that people are engaging in it.
Yeah, actually, technically, they're getting married this Saturday. Can you believe it, girls? They're getting married. Caitlin and Alex.
I hope you're listening to this on your honeymoon while you're getting jiggy with your husband on the yacht, girls.
We got the yacht.
We got the yacht. We have a friend who knows Luann, and I was texting him saying, you have to get this song to Luann. And he said, well, she's on a yacht in the middle of somewhere. And no, it's not borrowed. It's actually Tom's yacht. It's like, wow. Okay. I like that you specified that because, you know, I'm going to be making fun of that shit later. So thanks. Thanks for knowing me so well, yeah, friend.
Seriously. Wow. So much to unpack. So anyway, yes. Have a great wedding, you guys. Have a great time on your yacht, Luann. Everyone else, go buy the single. And for the rest of us, we are going to dive into Real Housewives of New York. Shall we?
I'm so excited. I love this show. I laugh my nuts off every damn time. And this episode was no exception. The episode was entitled Regency Reunion. So you know that Bethany's standing somewhere with like some long selfie stick getting ready to get somebody in trouble.
Everyone has t-shirts on for the reunion.
Yeah, and it happened on National Selfie Day. Did you know that?
Oh, no. Oh, yes. Wow. How appropriate.
Yeah.
And who made that? Who made National Selfie Day?
Some housewife probably. I mean.
Yeah. Awful. And yeah, awful. I'll probably take one.
That was yesterday.
How awful. I'm going to post a selfie right now.
Too late. That was yesterday.
What? Oh.
You see?
How about it's a later gram? Later gram.
Throwback Thursday.
It's plus Thursday. So flashback. I mean, throwback Thursday to National Selfie Day, Wednesday. NSDW.
So the previouslys, don't worry. I don't have notes on previouslys. I just was laughing because you know that Dale Tinsley's mom is going to be back on this episode because they showed her in the previouslys. And I just love when she's like, well, do you bring Sonia little treats or cookies or something? You know, out of like the little tiny little part of her mouth that still moves. And I just thought it was so cute that Sonia's friend is like, just take Sonia treats. She's just like a little cute puppy that needs some treats.
She just needs treats. Treats go a long way in this world. If I had more treats, I'd probably be a happier person.
It does. Like, for example, we learned Sonia's really just dating Rocco because he gets her free pizza.
Yeah. You know? Exactly. And free pizza, a wonderful thing. Oh, yes. A wonderful thing. Because it doesn't count as calories if it's free.
I know. That's why I stick with Domino's, because they have that, like, frequent flyer card or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so if you order enough, it's like, congratulations, you've won a free pizza. And it just feels like a very low calorie hug.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dom.
Did you see that one of our listeners is a Domino's delivery person who says that they listen to the podcast that helps them get through their shifts? Did you see that? I thought of you immediately.
No, that's amazing. And if they ever show up on my tracker, I'm going to just freak out and marry them, because that's fate.
Oh my god. So sorry, we are just like a little crazy today because it's the end of our week, and like I already drank a lot of coffee and we've just been gabbing with people all day, so now I feel like a disaster.
We've just been laughing so hard. Okay, so time to laugh some more. We open with Tinsley and Carol going to lunch, and they're having like a weird bad fur off. Tinsley's in a collarless gray fur. No.
Yeah, that's
she's with a sleeveless fur with a collar. It's like a gray fur. And then Carol is in a collarless gray fur that looks like a house cat fur. I'm not sure. Not sure what's going on there. But it's kind of, I mean, Tinsley has the collar, and then Carol's got the sleeves. So it feels like a friendship that can work.
It's like, as Tyra Banks would say, each girl has what the other one needs.
Or but as Tyra Banks would say, we were rooting for you.
We were all rooting for you.
So they're having lunch, and Carol is like, wow, well, I wasn't sure about Tinsley at first. She's a bit much, but she's genuine, and at least I enjoy her small talk. Okay, Carol. Yeah, because you add so much to every conversation you're in.
Yeah. Carol, by the way, once she removed her fur, was wearing this crazy sweater of this giant face. And I tried to do a Snapchat face effect on it, but it just could not register it. And then I tried to do it on Carol's face, and it also could not register. So Carol and Snapchat do not work well together.
Well, it's like if cartoons became real and they could age. It was like Betty Boop playing Baby Jane. It was like Betty Boop kind of being Carol's friend, you know? Like... Boop, boop, bee, doop, boop.
So the big news is that Tinsley's mom is coming to town. This is what Tinsley says. And on top of that, even bigger news is that Tinsley and Carol went to some Winter Wonderland party, and it got written up in the Post. And the Post said that Anne Hathaway looked radiant, and the women are like, she didn't look that radiant, if you ask me.
I was like, Anne Hathaway's not radiant. I love that Carol even hates Anne Hathaway.
Yeah.
I mean, why does everybody hate her? I mean, I know why, because I've seen her have acceptance speeches, and she's like, I would like to thank the artists that surround me and fill me with the joy and the art that is necessary to create the human that I created today. I'm like, this is a Princess Diaries, bitch. Please stop.
Yeah, I'm like, you're at the Teen Choice Awards.
You're about to get slimed by Nickelodeon.
Could you? I'd like to thank the scientists who created this goop to fall on my head.
So, yeah, I know.
Thank you.
But I just think it's funny that Carol even hates Anne Hathaway. She's like,
oh, she wasn't very stunning.
So they went and they showed a clip of them at this Winter Wonderland ball at the Botanical Gardens, and they were in more bad furs. This time they were in like cream house cat furs.
Yeah.
So these,
it's a lot of fur.
And then she read the, when she was reading the part about them, also Carol's font on her phone is like 30 point, which is hilarious. But she's like,
people were seen whispering as Tinsley made her debut back into society with pal, author, and teenage fucker, Carol.
I was like, okay. Carol.
I like that people were seen whispering as if this were the Princess Diaries, one of those ridiculous scenes where people are like, whoosh, 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 whoosh. People don't do that in real life. Okay. People really don't whisper in front of someone's face to be like, who is that?
And if they were, they were like, did that girl curl her hair?
We sort of expected her hair would be a little shorter, maybe a different color, maybe some lowlights. Huh. But she's still doing that curl. Weird.
Are they wearing house cats?
Is that baby?
Oh, so Carol's trying to, you know, Tinsley's like, I didn't sleep well, and the past is my present. It's not that long ago, you know, and I have post-traumatic, like, stress syndrome, like it's post-traumatic, blah, 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 blah. I'm still not over Palm Beach. And Carol's like,
well, if I was coming back as an it girl, I would reinvent myself. Maybe cut your hair. Maybe.
Did you notice that Carol has reinvented herself into Bethany's haircut?
I did not notice that. Well, to be fair, Bethany reinvented herself into Luann's haircut.
Exactly.
You have my hair.
Yeah, Bethany stole it from Luann. Then Tinsley stole it from Carol stole it from Bethany. It's like a disease that just keeps hopping from, you know, victim to victim.
Well, I love, so when Carol says, you know, maybe cut your hair or get some lowlights or whatever, and Tinsley's like, no, like, that's ridiculous. I can't do that. Like, this is my hair. Like, and she's like, she starts telling us, I love my curls. Like, I can't see my life without my curls. And I'm like, girl, you don't even have a curl in your hair. Your hair is completely straight right now. You're halfway there.
And every time Carol would say something in the scene, the music went ding. Did you notice that? It's like,
maybe you should reinvent yourself. Ding.
It's like around the horn on ESPN. Every time you make a good point, you get the little bell.
Yeah, it's like a diner. It's so weird.
Order up.
Yeah.
I mean, someone's hamburger is getting very cold.
New good eyelashes. Enough. Ding! Mel's like, who the fuck please. Is ordering eyelashes at Mel's diner?
Kiss my grits, man.
It was just the producers chiming in with their subtle suggestion, like, please, anything for a story, Tinsley. Get eyelashes, anything. Go just, like, cut an inch off your hair. We need content from you.
Tinsley, this is your producer. Have you ever thought about a crimping iron?
No, oh, my God. Post-traumatic stress. Oh, my God.
Tinsley, have you thought about maybe dipping your toes into wigs? You could do wigs, too.
Oh, no.
How about just, like, kind of upward pointing arrow shaped eyebrows. Just have those just have those catch on.
Then we still have Bethany's bright red bob if you want to use that. No, okay. Was it a bob? Maybe it was long. I don't remember.
So over at Sonia's, Sonia flips open her suitcase and she's like, I'm taking these to Bordeaux. Oh, Sonia. Yeah, Sonia.
She's like, you know, that bookstore that's down the corner. Like, no, that's Borders and it's closed. Oh, okay. Well, I guess today's job is done.
So stupid. Also, she has Rouge the dog, who's very cute. I'm only mentioning that because he's just looking at her like, how did I get stuck here?
And we also always call Rouge Milou, and so does Ramona. Remember Ramona a few episodes ago? I don't know, she has Milou, doesn't she? I don't know.
Hi, Milou.
Ever since she got in trouble for not saying hello to Bethany's dogs. That was so funny when she went to Carol's and she's like, hello, baby. Hello, baby. Okay, baby. Hi. Let's face it. I said hi to babies.
Hi. Look at these cool young dogs. They're going to be my best new friends with great advice on how to deal with people like Bethany. Okay?
So Frenchie is there because he has moved in now. And he is in a bright red sweater with, like, leather elbow pads. Which I don't know why that made me laugh so hard. But... he is.
From Bordeaux.
And he's like, Sonia, the food is ready. Le poisson, how I love le poisson. I still think this guy is totally Little Mermaiding it. I don't think he's really French at all. He's just some weird poor person from downtown.
Yeah, yeah. I don't understand any of this. I don't understand this weird Sonia storyline. It's not terribly compelling to me, especially because I don't really believe they're in a relationship. I believe he is someone that she met who is, like, staying in the weird Luann apartment on the fourth floor with the tube TV and the little rug, you know?
Yeah, he was like a guy she saw in a park literally riding around on his bike with, like, some bread under his arm that he just stole from some poor person at the farmer's market, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like his backstory is that he spent the past 5 years standing very still in Times Square, painted silver. And then Sonia's like, what would happen if we took that paint off? Oh, you're French. Okay, come on, move in with me. He's actually been in her townhouse for 3 years, but no one realized he was there because he's just very still.
I mean, the guy loves me. He does the robot for me. I just don't know what to do. So Frenchie's like, oh, you know, I hear two week work, then I have to go Paris 2 week. But you know, when I'm on your back 2 week in a row. And she's like, you know, the only thing, Frenchie, is I just don't like when you come into the bathroom when I'm pooping or, you know, doing my underwear laundry in the bidet. I just...
But I'm fishing out my BlackBerry.
I just don't like it. There's something about it. And he's like, oh, my parents always say, close the door when you go to the poo-poo. You know, close the door. And she's like...
And she's like, it's my ensuite. It's in my suite. I shouldn't have to. You just have to say, excuse me, Sonia, may I come in? And then I'll let you know. She's like, oh, I should take talkie-walkie and say ding-dong. I think I may have made a Japanese there.
It's like, whoa, wait a minute, Frenchie. That's verging into racism now, okay? Remember your Samuel ding. French accent on tape accent, please, sir. She's like, well, when Tinsley leaves, you can just take her shitter. And he's like, oh, the problem is Tinsley no leave ville. And then Sonia changes, and she's like, well, she just keeps talking about leaving, and I'm leaving, and this and that, leave, bye, packing, leaving. And it just, you know, it really hurts my feelings.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was only half paying attention to the scene. I'm not going to lie, because I just didn't understand the point of it. So basically the issue is that he's walking in on her while she's peeing, And she's like getting sick of him, but she still kind of likes having him around because I think she likes to talk about how there's this French guy that she just can't get rid of. And sometimes they have sex, but sometimes they just clear out the brown eyes together. And it's just a wonderful time with Frenchie.
Well, the point of it, the whole scene, was that she was telling him about the old, he had heard about the older guy, Mr. Goflato, or whatever. That yeah. Dude's, or,
Rocco.
Rocco.
Or,
he's I like, Rocco, you know,
Ancarola,
I don't
Monsieur Ancarola.
Because she was saying, well, I introduced you at the party, and, you know, everybody was joking about you. And he's like, oh, it is none of their business. They have no garden to take care of all those beaches. And he's like, when people talk, it no stay in my brain, okay? I only hear zings. And she's like, what did you hear, Frenchie? And he's like, oh, my friend texts me. You go out with this man, Mr. Govasso. And she's like, oh, no. Will you ask me if I kissed him? And I said no, because I haven't kissed him. And he's like, well, you know, a little smack is no kiss.
Did you tell him story about your napkins? Well, I mean, I may have told him, no, Sonia, that was our private story.
I wanted to inherit this.
I was supposed to be the only one who knew the story behind the oversized napkins.
The important thing is when Rouge going to get married.
And Rouge is licking his balls. And she goes, oh my God, Rouge is always checking his balls. You used to do that. Now you know they're there. Weirdo.
By the way, have you seen Tinsley talking to Connor? Okay, good. Great. Thanks.
Okay, I'm going to give you just, you know, a hypothetical. If the doorbell rang, would you ask Connor to see if it was your UPS person? Or would you go downstairs and make sure you beat Connor to the door just in case it was?
Okay, Frenchie, quick, pop quiz. Tinsley's hats arrive from down the street. Do you A, bring them up to her, B, kick them out, or C, just wear them everywhere? I don't know. I got lost in my own pop quiz. Because then I started to answer it for myself. I was like, I don't know what I would do.
Well, let's drop the pop quiz and go to the Popeyes. Ramona.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So, Avery. Here we are on FaceTime. You know, like you call me on FaceTime, and sometimes I call you on FaceTime, but like now we're both on FaceTime at the same time. It's crazy.
Whoa, I just realized something. FaceTime, it's like you're looking face-to-face at the same time. So it really is FaceTime, but why don't they call it face-to-face time? Because that's what you're really doing, okay? I'm sorry. It doesn't make sense, Mr. Steve Jobs. It doesn't at all. Sorry.
Except now you're looking at my brand new kitchen. Why don't they call it kitchen time?
Why don't they call it counter time? I did it all myself. My mother always said you don't want to rely on a man to decorate your apartment for you. Okay? So I did it all myself.
I saw a pillow at Ross that's yellow and it says, "You are my sunshine." And I was going to buy it for you, but they spelled sunshine wrong.
What?
It's supposed to be sunshine. I mean, what the hell is like a sunshine pillow going to do? It has to say like, you want my sunshine, hey?
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine.
When you're not near me, I get an edgier kitchen, okay?
So thanks for not being near me, Bethany, okay? Now I have an edgy kitchen, and it reminds me of sunshine. So I don't need you anymore. I don't need my sunshine because I have a kitchen that reminds me of sunshine. I'm sorry, but it's true.
And she's telling her, you know, I'm having all my friends over because they want to see my new edgy kitchen. Except for Bethany. I invited her. But, you know, it's crazy. I haven't ever been in this place with anyone before.
Except all my former friends. Like Jill Zarin, okay?
Oh, no, she's still friends with Jill. That's what's cracking me up. This whole thing is Jill's argument. Because all of those things that she spit out to Bethany were all the things that Jill's been saying for years. Which is, you fucked your way to the top. You did this and that. Those are all Jill arguments. So obviously she's talking to Jill. Jill ain't on the show. Don't be arguing Jill's points when Jill's not even on the show, Ramona. Oh my God.
I do miss the gossip, though. I do miss the gossip.
I gotta admit it. I miss it. I miss the gossip.
You know what? That's so annoying. So annoying. So Ramona's very proud. She's like, I did it all me. Me, myself, and I. I did it all myself. Okay?
There were also some migrant workers in here, but they were just here because they were falling in love with me. You know, because I'm single and ready to mingle. Also, now that I brought up Jill and I don't want to do it again later, Ramona was on Watch What Happens Live, and I couldn't watch it because Andy was like, hey, everybody, next we're going to see Ramona's boobs. Are they bigger than Dumbo's or whatever? I was like, I can't. But I watched a little bit. Her face is different again, and it's starting to look like Jill's face. Have you noticed? Did you see it?
I didn't notice, but I actually think Jill's face is looking pretty good these days.
Jill looks very good these days, yes, I have to say.
Yeah.
Face, hair, and her body is banging.
There's a billboard for Watch What Happens in Los Feliz right now, and it's just Andy Cohen like relaxing on top of a cab, and it goes, Watch What Happens. He goes there. I'm like, where does he go? To the crotch? To the boobs? It's not like he goes someplace particularly scandalous. He just asks really stupid, inappropriate questions.
Oh, Andy. So next up, Tinsley is with my favorite mother of this show, Dale. With Chris Dale. The gay.
Yeah, Chris the gay and Dale. This is just a really great combination here. I'm loving all of it.
He's like, guys, before we go in, I just want to say this is 11th and Bleecker, which is the prime of the prime. Primo prime of the primo crop prime. Okay? It's better than Amazon.
And Dale just... You can see Dale's just like putting on little surgical gloves so she doesn't have to touch anything. Hold on one second, Mr. Homosexual. I need to put on my plastic gloves so I don't get any of these Lower East Side germs on my hands.
I've sprayed my hair into a helmet, Mr. Gay, just in case any flying bottles come at us. We'll think we're the popo.
I just auctioned off my stupid elephant clock for $32,000. Somebody had bought it down. And I'm ready to look at this poor person home.
I wonder if they're even going to be able to figure out where to put the fan.
Stupid bitch tried to pay me in some man of a dog caftan. I don't know. Anyway, we're using the proceeds to give Tinsley here an apartment, so that way she can shut up that Sonia if she's not going to get her any treats.
Now, we need to hurry up because Daddy's at home waiting for lunch.
And by Daddy, I mean my pet cockatiel.
I mean, your Daddy, who's in a box at home. I know, Mother, jeez! Okay.
Oh, so... yeah, I forgot about that. I was like, I don't know where the daddy joke is, but I'm just going to make call him a cockatiel.
Daddy in a box.
There were
Yeah, I hope his name was Richard. Dick in a
Sorry,
box.
I forgot.
Okay, so Tinsley, they
don't
go...
have so many Ashes storylines on this show, you know.
So they go look at the first apartment, which is in the West Village. And Tinsley tells us, I do business development, so, you know, I have a job and, you know, family money. So I can afford it because it's 1,500 square feet for $9,000.
What? By the way, playing SimCity is not the same as doing business development. I developed, like, a lot of residential areas and commercial zones, and, like, we have a stadium. There was a giant monster who came in and destroyed downtown, but I fixed that, so, you know.
And her mom goes to the window and says, "Wow, it looks like a little village out there." He's like, it's the West Village. She's like, how quaint. I like just naming things what they are. It makes things much easier, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. I love Dale. I love her, like, helmet hair. But, like, and I say that in the best possible way. It sort of, like, puffs out a little bit that just sort of says, I am wealthy. And please only talk to me if you're in the proper station in life. Thank you.
Yes, and it also says, who needs modernity when they still make Aquanet? Because that is some Aquanetted hair, girl. I mean, there's some things you can modernize and make organic. Aquanet is not one of those things, okay?
So they look around the apartment. It has a sort of a small master and a tiny closet. And
not cute. I mean, not cute for... 9,000, Ben. I mean, how do people live there? Insane.
I literally don't know. I literally do not know.
They go into the...
so Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, no, that's triple the prices it would be here in L.A. Literally triple, because I'm looking at apartment prices.
Yeah, it's nuts. So they go to the kitchen. She's like, Tinsley doesn't need this room, which is such a mom thing to say, but also hilarious. Then, and also I love Dale's fur. It's like a bee fur. It's like black and yellow.
It's the day very of crazy Diane Weist in Bullets Over Broadway.
Yes, it is.
In Central Park.
So tiny closet, and she's like, is that for the handbags?
What are you doing to your mouth? Are you biting
your lip? Is that daddy's room? Because she only can talk out of half her mouth. And I'm not even making fun of the fact that she's had so much surgery. I admire the fact that she's that dedicated. Because when she started having facial surgery, it wasn't very perfected, you know? And now her muscles are all pulled every which way. And so when she gets a Botox, it's hitting some other muscle that won't let her mouth move properly.
I actually don't think her face looks crazy, like, surgeried up. I mean, I'm sure there's probably something. But to me, I mean, we've seen much worse examples.
Well, I think they put Mama Elsa on Bravo so that everybody else would look better. Honestly. I think they were just changing the bar. But I think she looks very pretty. You only really notice it when she's talking like that.
Yeah. Well, she is very pretty. Well, she's Dale. Of course, she's
Dale.
Dale
yeah,
is inimitable.
Dale.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dale's amazing. Yes. So over at Carol's.
Carol's.
My Carol voice is not working today. I need, like, before I do a Carol impersonation, I need to, like, to take a swig of water or coffee, and I'm out. And my water's all the way in the other room. So it's just going to be a weird Carol voice coming from me today.
I just punched myself in the throat, and it all seems to work out great.
By the way, did you notice, macro note, that it felt like in every scene this episode, there was always one person whose microphone was messed up?
No.
I thought Carol's was messed up in the scene. Later on, Harry Dubin's was messed up. And someone else's was messed up in another scene where they were, like, very tinny and they had to put the gain up. Like, maybe it was Dale's microphone. I was like, someone is messing up with the audio there.
Well, there's something weird with the audio on this show, because every time I watch it in the beginning, I realize that, I mean, yeah, but we're, like, in our kitchens. We're not on a national TV show. I noticed that in the beginnings, they all sound like they're calling in from their iPhones. You know, like... Yeah. There's nothing gray about my gardens, and you hear, like, the garbage disposal in the back, like, trying to use audio effects to mute it. Yeah. They all sound
so anyway, I'm sorry. I derailed you. We're at Carol's place. Yes.
So I noticed that in her thing where she's posing, when she's like, I'm Carol! When they're like, do-do-do-do-do. Carol's in an American Horror Story pleather outfit. Did you notice that? She's like the guy who hangs from the ceiling and, like, tries to fuck everybody to death in American Horror Story.
I haven't seen American Horror Story, but it sounds appropriate.
Except this one's like, I'm keeping your Buddha head.
Well, I was a huge fan of Carol's her interior decorator, because he had, like, some, you know, he is, like, older and wiser and has, I feel like, perfected his gay sass, you know. So, like, when she was talking about, you know, the reason why he's there is because she has to reupholster the famous sofa that was gifted to her or she inherited from Lee Radzwell, her mother-in-law. And it's a 60-year-old sofa. It's tattered and torn, like Natalie Imbruglia's heart. And basically, she has to figure out what sort of fabric to use. But, you know, she has all those cats, too. And so she's like,
well, somebody told me that if I wrap tinfoil around the feet of the furniture, they'll stop scratching.
And the gay goes, oh, that's going to look real nice.
And the cat is hanging off the curtains again, which is hilarious. So Adam comes over to pick up stuff, and they start having, like, their... I mean, how much could you fight with Adam? She's like,
Adam, I don't like that this is here.
And he's like, what about babe? Do you even talk? So she's like,
I think you should take this flower.
And he's like, babe, that's been your flower since before I even moved in here.
You know, and you see the designer is just staring at both of them, and in his head he's like, it's like choosing between the fleur-de-lis and the porcelain chef. Honestly, just throw them both out.
Yeah, at one point she's like, I want this Buddha head, and he's like, sorry, but that's the centerpiece of my house. Oh, good.
Well, what I love is at one point Adam goes, well, I'll let you keep the Buddha head if I get to take these lamps. And the gay just goes, no. Like, who is this ridiculous straight man right now? No, of course not. Like, he was so incredulous. He wasn't even like, no. He was just like, what the fuck is this person saying?
Yeah, he's like, you're lucky we haven't changed the locks yet. And don't think I'll make that mistake twice, son. So now Tinsley and her mom again. Now they're looking at another 1,500 square foot apartment for $9,000.
Right. Which is nice. This one's much nicer. The master's
gorgeous.
Huge, huge skylight. It's got this cool.
The whole ceiling is a skylight. I mean, it's amazing. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and the closet has one of those things where you can pull down a thing and you can hang your dresses and then you push it back up so it saves space. And Dale goes, well, they think of everything, don't they?
These villagers. They're like, no, Mom, we're in a different place now.
It's so adorable what these people have to do for their non-walk-in closets, isn't it? Is this what my people have to do on my house? I mean, I don't know what goes on to my closet.
So the gay's like, well, I think this one's more you. I mean, it's like beautiful. There's like a bar you pull down, you know, prime of prime, primal prime. And she's like, no, actually, it's more my mom. And I don't know. Like, now it's my mom. And oh, I wanted it to be me. But do I need this? Do I need it to be this nice? Can I live in a tiny place? I don't even know. I'm about to cry. Like, literally, I'm about to cry. I'm about to start crying. Like, because I don't really understand. Nobody understands Palm Beach. You know what I mean? Like, nobody understands what I'm through.
I need a tissue. I'm having nightmares of tissues.
Now, may I just say, if you're in a quandary, go to a hotel.
Yeah. Dale just doesn't even want to deal with it anymore. She's like, but we just moved all your stuff out of Palm. West Palm.
And the gay's like, yeah, but that was for a reason. Oh my God, don't bring it up. Oh God, literally traumatizing. Nobody gets it.
It's a lot. It's a lot. It's just a lot. It's just a lot. It's a lot. Like, yes, it's literally a lot of land, okay, or a plot of land, and just please just take it. Here's the thing with Tinsley, okay? I get it. Moving to a different neighborhood is weird. Like, for instance, I live in Hollywood. I've always lived in Hollywood or West Hollywood, but I've always been basically in the same section of town here in LA for 15 years. And the idea of, like, I would never move to the West Side. I would never move to Santa Monica because it's just, I don't know it over there and I don't want it. I like this neighborhood. This is where I want to stay. I get that. However, if I moved away for like a year or two and then moved back to LA, I'd probably be like, you know what? I'm back to the city. Why don't I try someplace new? So I don't think it's that crazy to, like, I don't understand this attachment she has to the Upper East Side. It just seems so.
I feel like part of the problem might be that she's hearing $9,000 for every place. And she's like, what the fuck? That's like 100-something grand I'm going to have to come up with every year. I mean, the hell?
And probably her mom is like, well, I like these apartments, but, you know, all the villagers, they may rise up, so we should probably go to the Upper East Side. Translation, I'll only pay for your Upper East Side apartment.
Yes, that's true. If I have to pay for a cab every day, it's going to make things more expensive, and I won't pay rent downtown.
Tinsley, let's be honest. These people are not going to be able to give you a good blowout, you know what I'm saying?
No one wants to live in the same neighborhood as the breadstick and the candlestick maker.
I mean, tavern on Jane. How does a lady have a tavern on her?
I mean, look what they did to that poor girl Jane. Built a tavern right on her.
Right on her stomach. You don't need that.
They don't respect women, and I'm not going to have my daughter living in such a hellhole.
I mean, what's the deal with West 4th going diagonal and sort of north? It doesn't make sense. Things don't make sense over here, Tinsley.
So Tinsley freaks out. So next up is Frederick and Bethany. Hello, Is anybody home? Are you naked?
Oh, wait. Oh, we can do the sizzle reel for the pilot now? We can do sizzle reel for a spinoff show? Okay, let's do that. Okay, I'm ready to go. Let's do it. What do you want to say? Clutter, huh? Clutter, okay.
It smells so much different in here, so much better.
Yeah, well, you know, I decluttered, you know? Like, I mean, I guess people don't want to ever, you know, like, use an apartment that has, like, things in it, like life and personality. So, like, I just took out a chair and an ottoman, and now it's, like, open and free. Okay? Like, seriously? Like just kill me now.
All right, you can come in now. The Ghostbusters just left. Like, seriously?
Like, seriously? Like, there's invisible slime everywhere. Like, honestly, like, you know what I want? I want Slimer to come in and just, like, sit on a chair and ask for a drink. And I'll be like, see? The bar's good because Slimer wants a drink. Honestly, like, kill me now.
We're going to have to pay $20,000 to get the marshmallow off the walls, but otherwise, like, we're good.
Yeah, we're good. Good. Yeah.
So she's so got this bar in the corner that makes everything look cluttered. And he's like, oh, yeah, you need to get a bar going. It looks flatty. She's like, ah, seriously, you're like such a cocksucker. Like, I hate you. Like, seriously, die. How about that? How about you die?
Like,
how about you
fucking die? She's like, how about this? Like, literally, it's not gonna move. You know what? It's gonna tear up the floors. It's gonna scratch everything. Like, it's gonna be a whole thing. Like, I don't want it to be a whole thing. Like, honestly, like, kill me now. Like, you know what I want to do? I want to get behind the bar and take a martini glass, smash it, and then slit my throat with it, and just like die behind the bar. And like here lies Bethany Frankel, like dead behind the bar. Like, honestly, I can't.
Oh, but then it will smell again. Ah, shut up, you douche. Fuck you, douche. So that's pretty much. I think that's next.
I think he's right. I think he's right about that bar. I don't think it looks good. Wait, no. The one thing though is that. So this bar costs $40,000. You know, it's like, I thought it was like a, you know, like a $1,000-$2,000 bar, but she spent $40,000 on that bar and it does not even look good. There's like a drapery cram behind it. But on top of that, you know, it's going to be a whole thing. And so then she calls up What's the Matter? And it's like, all right, so I need you guys to move the bar out of here. Okay. All right. Thanks. Bye. I'm like, that's crazy. You can't call up your assistant and be like, move my bar out of my apartment, because you know it's gonna be
Someone called BB Endeavors, and I was like, Frederick Company. That's such a Frederick Company.
Oh, BB, I thought she was calling What's the Matter.
It's our BB Ron Real, Bethany.
They're like, hi, Ron Real, may I help you?
I was like, wow. I was like, that seemed like really above the assistant's pay grade to make them haul out a bar. makes much more sense. Okay, great.
So good. So let's see here. Carol is next. She's talking to Dorinda on the phone about going to Washington for the Vagina Hat March.
Yeah.
And because it's right after Trump got in or whatever. And Dorinda's like, I have a dweller and I'm a woman. It makes sense.
You know what? If you want to make a sandwich, we make a sandwich. We're going to march for the sandwiches. And you know what? We're going to be one big lady sandwich with like lots of layers, like 100,000 layers. A sandwich in there, and John's going to come and it's going to be great.
You want to make a vagina? I'll make a vagina. Let me eat a sandwich.
I'm going to bring my chaos crayon. It'll be a big march for the crayon and like...
Guys, before we go any further in this episode, there's something really, really quick and easy we want you to do. We rely on advertising to keep this show free. And if you could do us a favor, could you go to podcastlistener.com/Crappins and answer a few short questions? It'd be super helpful to us.
Yeah, again, that's podcastlistener.com/Crappins. Podcastlistener.com/Crappins. Just take that little survey, okay?
It takes like a minute. And, you know, who doesn't love a good survey? Thanks.
And now we get some Hoboken music. Ba-boom. Dee-dee-dee-dee-da-dum. It's like nice Hoboken theme. So Sonia shows up in Hoboken, and you know you're in Jersey because there's a big sign that says, Bread is back.
Yeah, I saw. And for some reason, I thought it was 5 in the morning because I thought it was the next morning. The scene was before it was Carol talking about going down to D.C. And then like they say Hoboken, they show a bus. I'm like, oh, they have to get to Hoboken to take the bus down to D.C. That my mind was like that. And then Sonia shows up. I was like, what's Sonia doing in Hoboken at 5 in the morning? I was so confused.
I would love if Dorinda was like, we're going to the women's march just to get a piece of pizza in Hoboken. Hoboken. I always say Hoboken.
Hoboken. Hey, you know what? You say how you want to say it, okay? Kudos to Ramona is like kudos to everyone else. This is the world you live in, you know?
Kudos. Yeah, so Brett is back, and this turns into a date with Rocco.
The most exciting date of all.
Oh, my God. When Rocco sees Sonia, and he's like, Buenos Aires!
Made me pine for the good old days of Vito and in Little Italy.
He throws up his hands I'm trying to think of that. Life is Beautiful. What is that movie?
Roberto Benigni.
Yes.
Roberto Benigni winning an Oscar. He's like, Rocco's climbing over chairs. He's like, Sonia! Sonia!
It's like the poster for Gypsy with Tyne Daly, just like her arms up in the air. And it says Gypsy above her. It's like, Buenos Aires! was like, geez, Rocco.
It's somewhere between Don't Cry For Me, Argentina and Platoon. And arms are up.
Yes. So he's like, oh, Frank Sinatra used to live here. He brought bread here every day. So why was gluten not so harmful back then? He was always thin, Frank.
Well, he did a lot of walking.
Guys, something in the farming. It's Monsanto. So Sonia's I
liked how Rocco says to Sonia, he's like, oh, yes, I shut down the restaurant for you, Sonia. I'm like, oh, yes, that's the reason why it's empty, because you shut it down. Mm-hmm, yes, okay.
Not because you're announcing bread is back in 2017. I mean, Caroline Monzo can only eat so much pizza, for Christ's sake.
Let's be honest. It's probably the former space of Little Big Town or whatever the name of that restaurant was. The Manzo kids opened up. I think Little Big Town's a band. It's like Big Little Restaurant. Now serving mozzarella sticks with Captain Crunch batter.
Little Town Town. Town of the Little Prime of Primo. So he's like, oh, you know, Rocco, he just makes me light up. Look at these sauces. Picante, picante, and picante. I'm like, yes, world traveler. You know, you're in an Italian restaurant, right? She's acting like she's at the Baja Fresh Salsa Bar.
Oh, duck sauce. Okay, duck sauce, mustard, more duck sauce. No.
No, still wrong. So this scene is her wanting to tell him about Frenchie because Frenchie knows about him. So, I mean, the difference between these two guys is hilarious. It's probably like the same age difference, you know, in opposite ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's because because Rocco is what, like 90 years old?
Yeah, probably. You know, yeah, like it's hard to tell because he's got that like dyed hair comb over things. You can't really tell.
Yeah. So they're talking about, you know, they're talking about Tom and Sonia starts talking about how she really likes loyalty. And Edgar is talking about how he used to cheat, but he doesn't like to cheat anymore. And this is all hilarious because the whole reason why she's meeting up with Rocco is because she feels she has to tell Rocco about Frenchie because Frenchie knows about Rocco, which she actually does not have to do. But I think she needed to have a scene to do something.
Well, I have to point out that she was saying, you know, Luann got married and I find out what, you know, she said something like, I booked that trip when I was with Tom, and then she got married to Tom. I mean, married. I mean, I like loyalty. I mean, loyalty is marriage. He's like, well, you know, marriage is a noble thing to do. And she's like, well, I just wish there was loyalty.
Well, I also don't, like, I also have a hard time believing that she booked her trip to Phuket in, like, from 2016 to 2017 in fall of 2015.
You never know. That girl's probably on Priceline every day looking 2 years ahead.
Yeah.
That girl likes a bargain, that one.
Well, the truth is she probably did not even go to Phuket. She probably just went to a Thai restaurant down the street. Like, here I am on vacation, Phuket.
Pad Thai. Picante, wow, this picante, is so authentic. Picante.
Wow. I'll have the picante curry, please. I'll do yellow picante. Yes.
Oh, so let's see here. So he's like, oh, I don't want to cheat again. You know, I cheated on my last. I don't want to cheat again. And she goes, yeah, but when you're our age, I mean, I don't know. you know, picante. And he's like, wait a minute. She goes, well, what happened, Rocco? A complete stranger from Paris comes in, and I met him, and then I took him home after a party. Oh, really? Yes, and then I slept with him, and, you know, then we went to dinner in a museum. And he's like, okay.
She's like, and I can't get rid of him. It's like, it's hilarious, and he just is here, and we just keep fucking by accident. And, like, I'm like, gosh, and... Are you charmed yet? This is the normal stuff I say that people usually laugh at a cocktail party. You're not laughing. No? Okay. So he's, I mean, like, I barely know him. I mean, just for like only like 6 months, he's been in my room. And like, I mean, it's weird. You still want me to talk? Okay. All right. I can do this. So yeah, it's weird. I can't get rid of him. And I'm seeing you both sort of, we're fucking picante.
you know, I thought he would just go back to Paris, but now he's with me again. I mean, but in Paris. But he's coming back, probably with me again. And I just, look, I just don't want you to think there are other guys like that, okay? There are no other guys like you, and there's no other guys like that. You know, shit happens.
And Rocco's like,
wow.
Do I still get the big napkin?
So he's trying to deal with this because she's just trying to play it off like it's no big deal. And he's like, I could be serving pizza by the slice right now to teenagers. So did I mention this Frank talk... Sinatra got bread here?
He's like, you realize that I am losing $30,000 tonight because of you.
So they start...
I have diamonds on my pizza.
So he decides, you know, he's still got a Sonia. So whether or not she's fucking someone else, he's like, you just see it in his eyes that he's like, well, okay. It's important to me that people really get to know each other as friends. Because you don't jump to the sex part. Friend is more easy. Friend is more difficult. Sex is easy. I'm like, yeah, right.
He basically just friend zoned her. He's like, you know, I don't know what time it is here because I travel the world so much. It's so hard to know the time zones. Are we perhaps in the friend zone? Oh, burn, Sonia, burn like the pizza oven. You burn in the pizza oven now. Friend zone.
Autozone, Sonia. We are in the autozone.
Oh, O'Reilly. Oh, no, wait. Sorry.
She's like, well, that's fun. Good because I'm taking my time. I'm like, you just told him that you let a guy move in with you that you fucked one time after a party, Sonia. And she goes, well, Frenchie's just infatuation because Rocco's the long haul. I'm like, Rocco's got about 7 years left. Okay?
Yeah. Sonia goes, you know, here's the thing. You know, if I'm not married, you know, I'm not married until I am married. I'm not committed until I'm married. And I'm like, you're not committed until you're married? that's a little crazy there.
Sonia. That's so Sonia. So he goes, oh, let's talk about us. Remember the last time we kissed on the lips? She's like, what? I just said in a previous scene that I hadn't even kissed you, so...
Was that before or after you invited me to Hoboken? Because I'm not sure I'd kiss you now that you hauled me to New Jersey.
Was that pre-Hoboken, Rocco? Or current picante, picante, picante Rocco. And he's like, oh, that pick. It was so cute. She goes, oh, you were right. I did kiss you because it was just a peck, you know. She's like, oh, God. Is this his way of saying blowjob? He's like, no, it was peck on lip or whatever. Do the next
hey, have
the
you ever
kiss.
Seen that movie, The Hoboken Chicken Emergency? Did that take place here for real? No, Sonia, that was not a real story. No chicken emergency in Hoboken. Oh, thank God.
Chicken. So, yeah, so she's happy because he's basically said, look, we can still keep dating. You don't have to fuck me. And I don't even understand what's happening with this French person. You know, hope you get rent, whatever.
Yeah.
So next they go to the parade. And all I wrote down at the march in Washington, D.C. is, we need a leader, not a creepy tweeter.
Yeah.
Oh, I love protesting.
We need a sandwich. So make a sandwich, Mr. President.
We'd burn our bras, but they've all got water in them. Victoria's Secret has changed protesting forever.
They put water in their bras now? Water?
Yeah, they change them every year. They have a water bra or a gel bra. Now they have like a Band-Aid bra that just kind of tapes onto your sides. I mean, they're always changing, but... The point is, it's just not safe to burn your bras anymore, ladies.
Yeah.
Mariah.
So, yeah, women's march. It was nice. Hannah's like, I've never been more proud to be a woman. So that was nice. And then the true height of how far women have come is cutting to Bethany in the backseat of her, you know, SUV barking at Kevin. All right, take me to the Upper East Side. You know what it is like Upper East Side? It's just like rich Jews. That's what it is up there. You know what that is? It's rich Jews and like preppy people, like smart preppy people. It's like Wall Street people, like rich people are out of touch. I'm like, great one, Bethany. Great Syrian commentary in the Upper East Side. No one's ever said those things before.
It's either like rich people or it's like a bar mitzvah or like it's a bat mitzvah or like it's like old people with like geometric rugs or like seriously, that's Upper East Side.
He's like, get out of my car, please. I don't get paid enough for this, bitch. Get out. So Tinsley and Anisha getting their nails done. Ramona and Sonia are Ramona's getting ready for her party in her kitchen.
And Luann.
She goes, look how the animal's on now. Sonia says this. She goes to Ramona, look how the animals are now, because Tinsley gives them food.
Tinsley ruins everything. And then Luann, meanwhile, is making a charcuterie plate. It was like nothing. She's just making a charcuterie plate, and Tom comes. He's like, "Hi," and she's like, "Ha ha ha! Ah, Tom,
I've made us food. Can you believe it? I got the wood board.
Would you believe it? Charcuterie. It's French. Here, have a piece of salami. Ha ha ha! Would you believe it? It's a Greek olive. Ha ha
ha ha! Tom's home from work. Ha ha!
Brian.
Brian."
She just describes words about the charcuterie.
So over at Ramona's, she's like, oh my God, I'm setting up for my party. It has to be perfect. You know, everything has to be great. And her gay Hank is over there, and he's a caterer, and he's such a caterer gay. He's like, Everything's going to be great, Ramona. Just great.
It's like, we got salmon mousse, and we put the salmon mousse into like a cucumber. I don't know. I just started to make him Southern now, but like, we've been doing so much Southern charm. Everything's Southern now.
Well, I was making him what's the matter? So I guess it's good. Bethany, you look wonderful.
Yeah. Either way, and it's like he's just very excited about the salmon mousse and the cucumber, whatever it was. And Ramona, the most buzzed about thing about this is that Ramona has her hair in a high pony, and it's all pulled back and all super tight. Believe it or not, I did not hate it. I didn't think it was terrible, but everyone else seems to think it's the worst thing they've ever seen.
Well, Ramona is one of those people with eyes that sear into you. Like, she could open her own Benihana and just sear the meat with her eyes. Like, she's just got those eyes. They're like, bzzz. So without the hair to kind of, you know, I don't know, absorb the shock of her head twitch or whatever,
yeah,
it's just there's something weird about the look. But also just because she's like, well, now I'm edgy, okay, so I just made edgy hair and an edgy outfit, and like my counters even have edges, you know, the edgy, everything edge, it's all about edge. So Carol,
my
comes.
Favorite band is U2, because there's a member of that band called the Edge. Isn't that crazy? But there's no black bear that chases him around. I don't understand it.
The only song I'm going to be playing through this entire party is Edgehammer.
Whoa. You know what this reminds me of? It reminds me of that Tom Cruise movie where he goes and relives the same day over and over and over again. It's called Edge of Tomorrow. And then when I watch it, I imagine what would happen to me if I had to live with Mario day after day after day over and over and over again. And Geraldine Parsons-Smith says, whoa, stop that. You're not Tom Cruise. You're not a movie star. You're not even a mummy. So stop saying those things. And now I can't stop thinking about Tom Cruise. I'm sorry.
Now that there's no man in this house anymore, there's no more PlayStation. The only game he allowed is Sonic the Hedgehog, okay?
I love Lady Gaga's song, The Edge of Loving You. Like, Ramona, it's not what it's called. Oh, I'm sorry. We're at the edge. Love that song.
Oh, so Carol's the first one to come, and now she's in some kind of weird up zip up jumper thing. She's like, whoa, it's like a new place. It's edgy, right? Hey, Carol, come over here. Look at this light fixture, okay? Have you seen it? Are you seeing it right now? What do you think of it? It's new. It's a fixture. It's a light. Look, you flick it on, the light comes on. What do you think? She's like,
wow, origami? I think of Ramona as more of a traditional type. And that ponytail. Barbara Eden was 24.
I'm like, so was Adam's last girlfriend. What's your point?
And isn't there a more current reference than Barbara Eden? I mean, if you're gonna diss the ponytail, I mean, even like, who was it, Dorinda, who was like, look at that Matrix ponytail, you know, at least she came to the Matrix.
Well, I constantly use Charo, so I guess I'm gonna stay out of this one. I'm just gonna stand over here giggling.
Yeah. Well, but at least Chara was on The Surreal Life 10 years ago.
Oh, that's true. Thank you. Thank you for saving that.
So Tinsley walks in with Dale, and, you know, Ramona meets Dale for the very first time, and Dale goes, "Your hair is very stunning that way," which to me was like such a wonderfully nasty euphemism.
And it's Ramona has stunning. Known a Southern person before, because she's looking at her like,
I'm sorry, what's your first name again? Dale? Oh, okay, like a chipmunk, huh? Where's Chip?
So are you speaking out of the side of your mouth on purpose? Or it's like, no, Ramona, she literally speaks out of the side of her mouth. Don't take it personally. But Ramona doesn't know, you know. She's just like, well, welcome, Dale. It's a new modern energy apartment. You know, it's edgy.
Okay. I'm sure you rescue rangers have seen this before, but it's the first time that I've ever done it, okay?
Is my look edgy? So Tinsley goes over to talk
yours
to
yours is
Karen.
A dolphin, mine's a seal. Just so you know. Just everyone knows.
She goes over to talk. Mine are seagulls. So Tinsley
goes
over.
Ramona's listening to this. She's like, I don't understand what's happening on this podcast, okay?
When do I come on?
Okay. So yes, go on. I'm
Tinsley
sorry.
Tinsley goes to talk to Carol. She's like, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed. Like, seriously, I can't even do this. Like, I'm out of my comfort zone. I'm exhausting myself even talking about it. I can't even. Okay, I'm going to go look at the edgy origami again.
Hey, is this my Buddha head?
So, yeah, Tinsley's whole thing is like, I can't move. I can't move to Lower East Side right now. I can't move to Soho. It's just like, it's too much for me. It's like, okay, relax, Tinsley. Here's a tissue. So now this is cruel editing. This is really cruel editing, because the same episode where we have the Women's March, which of course was a great moment in feminism and lady power and rah, 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 the power of the pussy hat, in walks Harry Dubin. It's like, oh, it's a reminder that no matter how far women come, they'll always have to deal with Harry Dubins.
He goes right up to, Oh, no, it was Ramona first. He's like, whoa, that hair and those boobs. Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Shut up, Harry Dubin. He is such a sleaze, and the fact that he keeps showing up season after season, and some of these women have done him, I just don't understand.
Ramona. Ramona is such an asshole. She's like, I ain't fighting Luann, but also Harry Dubin. Totally forgot. How could I? And also Missy. Who knew she was going to come? Edgy. This is edgy. It's an edgy party, okay?
And so then Harry goes up to Dale and Tinsley. And I mean, this guy, ugh, I just want to throw up in my mouth. He goes, I've known your daughter for a very long time. And Dale's like, who is this Harry Jew?
And Tinsley's like, oh yeah, I met Harry when I was in Miami modeling with Kelly Bensimone. What?
And then Dale's like, oh yes, I remember that. Those were the years that we didn't talk about you. Those are the dark years for our family.
Jeez, so that's what we're calling Saudi Arabia now? Those are two yacht girls if I've ever seen one. So he's being disgusting, and he's like, I like that cross on your chest, Tinsley. And she's like, oh yeah, well, oh thank you. Yeah, I wore this cross at my wedding. And he's like, well, it looks great on your chest. And Dale's like, all right, well, we're moving all things back to Palm Beach.
Yeah. Even though we just got everything out of West Palm, we're going to put them back in West Palm.
West Palm. So, let's see.
Sonia walks in with this giant fur coat. She's like, I'm not leaving that in a rack in the hallway. And it's like, huge fur coat. And so Ramona's like, okay, we'll put it on the bed, okay? I'm sorry. And then, of course, Harry goes up to her and is like, hello, Sonia. She's like, oh, Harry Dubin.
Yeah, like, but Newman. Then she, of course, turns into flirty Sonia. He kisses her on the lips, and then she gives that look like, and turns away and does a spin for him. He's like, yeah, do it again, spin. She's like, this is the bruise on the back of my calf. He's like, yeah, bruise calf. She goes, he could be my fifth husband in the nursing home. He could use the blue gel. I'll use the pink gel. We could fight over Scrabble. Please, Sony is realistic, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, if they both wind up in a nursing home, then they have my blessing.
Unlike Luann, who walks in with Tom and kisses, ha-ha. You know, says kisses hello to everybody. She's like, ha-ha, hello. Well, it's nice to go to a party with Tom and just feel how happy everyone is for us. It's like, really? As everyone turns away and starts whispering.
Yeah, exactly. Remember when I said no one does that? Then this is when it happened. They're all whispering.
They're like, did you see Anne Hathaway's dress at the Botanical Gardens Winter Wonderland? Stunning.
I'm sorry. Were we talking about my wedding? I did look stunning. Thank you so much. Now we're talking about Anne Hathaway. Oh, yes. When I won that Oscar. Yes. Man. What? Would you believe it, girls? I'm an Oscar winner. Oh, never mind.
Sophie's choice. Sophie chose Tom. But she couldn't have him because he's mine. Can you believe it, girls?
The Hank the caterer was super into Luann and Tom, as I would have been if I were there. He's like, congratulations. Everyone's telling me how off the charts it was. Yes.
He's so fake. He's like, did you like it? It's like, he says that with the same face he introduced the salmon mousse with. You know, it's like caterer face. And I've worn it for many years. I recognize it. Caterer gay. You know that guy back to the kitchen and just calls everybody the C word.
That's true. It's like one time I got roped into marching in the gay pride parade a few years ago here in L.A. And there was this little guy, this little gay, who had a megaphone. And he would go to the audience and go, okay, 1, 2, 3, gay pride. And the crowds would go, gay pride. He's like, 1, 2, 3, gay pride. 1, 2, 3, gay pride. And then he'd drop the microphone, megaphone, and he would turn to us and goes, okay, I'm going to need a little bit more cheer from you guys. Thanks. 1, 2, 3, gay pride. Just turn evil on you. I was like, listen,
guys,
sir.
I need a little more spirit in your fingers, okay?
This is gay pride, not St. Patrick's Day, okay? 1, 2, 3, gay pride.
Gay pride. Girls. So then they show Bethany. She's not at the party, but she's like, why the hell would I go to that party? Hey, Ramon, I hope she dies. Like, seriously? Like, even if it was a funeral, I wouldn't go unless they had, like, an area where I could just piss on a grave. And then Ramona's like, well, you know, Bethany's not here, but she RSVP'd. So maybe that's progress, you know? Just a little. Cut to Bethany. I don't like her. That's it. I'm not going to go.
I don't like her. Like, what's the deal? You know what I like? My bar. That's what I want to keep. I want to keep my bar. I'm going to get rid of Ramona. She's my clutter, okay? Literally, I can't.
Like, literally, it hurts more to get rid of the bar than Ramona.
So Ramona's now talking to, I think, Dorinda and Carol, and Ramona's like, you know what? She was just as bad as me, okay? She was just as bad as me. I'm sorry.
I don't know if that's true. She was. Hey, she was just as bad. Well, I'm not sure. She's like, okay, look, I don't remember, okay? I should have walked away. She made me freaking nervous, okay? She scares the shit out of me. Dorinda's like, you're so loud, right?
Tell her you were drunk. Tell her you were drunk.
Take it from a pro.
I did all the time.
I use alcohol as an excuse all the time.
Yeah, even Carol is like, listen, it's fine. Just if you just say you were drunk and scared, she'll like that. Everyone's like, well, what? I got hot-headed, and I agree with you both, okay?
Nope.
Let's face it. No one's perfect.
I love Bethany, okay? And I'm just being a hard-ass about it right now because I'm very upset, and I'm pretending I'm not. Let's face it.
Let's
face it. I like that she actually said, let's face it. I love when she actually says her go-tos.
Yeah, we don't pull these out of thin air. She says them.
So funny.
And then she's like, look, I mean, I even have a photo of you, Carol, me, and Bethany right there. I look at it every day, okay? I don't have to look at it on page 6 of the New York Post. I'm sorry, but I don't. And then Carol's like, yeah, well, you also have a photo of you and Avery and Hillary Rodham Clinton. You see how that turned out?
It's like, well. You don't talk about that. When Bethany mishandles her emails, that'll be another discussion, okay?
When Bethany gives up state secrets through her emails, that wasn't proven. Well, I heard
from the guy who sells peanuts downstairs. That is true. So it has to be true. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Okay. So now Missy's there. Yes. Who is the one that was making out with Tom, I guess, at the Regency.
When Lou interrupted and stole Tom away.
Yes. So Tom is like, oh, yeah, we met once before. I think it was at the Regency.
When he goes, could be, probably. Meanwhile, Ramona goes, I don't know what I was thinking when I did the invites. I'm like, oh, please, Ramona, you knew exactly what you were doing, and we thank you.
She does that little temple thing where she's like poking at her own temple. She's like, you know, sometimes I'm just not thinking, okay?
I'm hot-headed. I don't remember, okay?
So much edginess in here. I just forgot.
You know what's really edgy? Not remembering things, okay? Hey, it's just like Edge of Tomorrow, my favorite movie.
Then they show Missy and Tom alone together, and she's all awkward, and she's like, nice ring. And he's like, oh, yeah, still getting used to it. It's like a dog with a collar. Jeez! So then Luann pulls him away, and she's like, oh, so is that the woman from the Regency? He's like, well, there's a lot of women at the Regency, Luann. I mean, it's the Regency. It's, women are allowed there, okay?
Yeah.
Like, oh, the one you dated? He's like, yes, but she's happy for us. She's so very happy for us.
And Luann's like, great. And she gives this like icy smile. And that's a Luann specialty. Her ice smile is one of the most devastating features about Luann. And wow, was she sporting it that night?
Yes, that is the I'm throwing away the charcuterie leftovers when we get home look.
Yeah, that's the look of, well, enjoy having no cookies in your Tom's cookie jar.
But to us, of course, she's like, oh, it's great. I think it's great. I'm still friends with my exes, and that's just the way to be. So poor, you know.
I think it's great that Tom is still friends with that slut Missy. I mean, you know what? She's probably lonely. She doesn't have friends on account of her being a slut.
You know, it's why Tom works for the suicide prevention line. You know, sometimes people want to kill themselves, and he'll just, you know, eat them out or make out with them for a while. It's called saving lives, people. Poor, depressed Missy over there needing help. Tom's just
look,
like a life raft.
Look, she's Harry. Yeah, so Missy's sitting with Harry, and Harry's trying to get the scoop. He's like, so, he dragged you into the bathroom at the Regency and kissed you, huh? Huh? And meanwhile, Tom's in the corner being like, oh, Harry, he's such a charmer.
And Harry tells Missy, sweetheart, you're the full package. She's like, okay, I think it's time to go. There's a lot more lighting in here than there is in that Regency bar, and it's horrifying. So,
smell like rancid blue cheese, and you're too close to me. I'm going to go.
She kisses everybody. Double kiss to Tom and one, or double to Lou and single to Tom. I don't know why I wrote that down, but I thought it was some kind of code.
It was Morse code.
Help. And then Sonia's like, oh, that Ramona's a pot stir. And she knows it. You know, she just has to have them all there at the same time. But I don't see why he's talking about you being with Tom. I mean, what about Luann being with Harry? God, Sonia never dropping it.
Never, ever, ever, ever.
I love this show.
So good. Wow. Well, here we are. We made it to the end of this Thursday episode. If you haven't listened to the our accompanying episode with Katie Cazorla, where we talk about Second Wives Club and we talk about New York again, you should go listen to that because it's just super fun. Our audio levels are a little janky, but you know, our tribute to New York.
Yeah, it's our phone conversation, y'all. Everybody, yeah. We sure love you. We will be back tomorrow with little Southern Charm Savannah.
Yes,
what an episode that is, friends.
Super fun. Yeah, everyone tune in for that. And we'll talk to you mañana.
Bye.
Bye.